From Hollywood, NBC brings you Hedda Hopper. Hedda Hopper, who daily reports to 30 million readers in America and 8 foreign countries, now reports to you on the air. Here is Hedda Hopper's Hollywood, from the desk by the window, looking right down on Hollywood and Vine. And here she is, Hedda Hopper.
Everybody look over my shoulder while I write my column. We'll have news of famous people here and everywhere. We'll have a surprise visit with two of Hollywood's biggest stars, plus news about Oscars with Dean Jagger, the dramatic story of America's number one woman spy, Claire Phillips, and an argument with Dorothy L'Amour. Okay, let's go. Elizabeth Taylor's madly in love with the director who's doing her present picture titled Love is Better Than Ever, I Wonder. Virginia Fields tells friends in New York that she'll marry Willard Parker just as soon as he's free. Mrs. Parker says, I'm willing to go to Mexico immediately and get the divorce, if he'll only pay for it. Arlene Dahl doesn't expect to marry Lex Barker until spring, she tells me. She'll wait until after Sir Charles Mendel arrives from Paris in April. Her honeymoon is all set. They'll be guests of the French National Tourist Company, which offer she's had for some time and which now includes her future husband. Only thing holding up the Barbara Stanwyck, Bob Taylor divorce is a property settlement. I still think she's still very much in love with him. Gary Cooper's in New York, and he and the family will be heading for home soon. Since Los Andrews is working in a picture for her ex-husband, George Jessel, she calls him Boss. Says Georgie, if she'd called me that when we were married, we might still be that way. What makes a movie outstanding? Well, after the story, the performance of the star is the first thing that hits you in the eye. But one of the proudest traditions in Hollywood is the list of memorable performances by people who don't hold the center of the stage, the supporting players. For instance, last year's picture of heavy bombers and the war, 12 o'clock high. Remember how much of its impact was due to the performance of Dean Jagger? Dean Jagger playing the part of Major Stovall.
General, I'm a retread officer. I had my shot at combat the first war. I kind of wanted to get in this one, but I guess they figured I was too old for anything but a death. Well, I guess they were right. See, I'm a lawyer by trade. I think I'm a good one. When a good lawyer takes on a client, he does it because he believes in that client's case, and that's all that matters. See, when I came over to England, I took on my biggest client. That client is the 918th Bomb Group, and even if I only fly a desk as adjutant, I want to see my client win its case.
Yes, Dean Jagger played the adjutant in that outstanding movie. As a supporting player, he didn't have a great many speeches, but he made every word count.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, I am drunk. A little. I believe I warned the general that it might happen again sometime. But sometimes I think I drew the worst end of this racket just sitting here, watching them come and go and filling out all those stinking papers. But that is not why I'm drunk tonight. I got drunk because I am confused. I was thinking, which is a thing a man should not do. I was thinking, and all at once I couldn't remember what any of them looked like. I couldn't see their faces. There's Bishop, Cobb, Wilton, Zimmy, all of them. All the flyers. All of you. They all looked alike, just one face, and it was very young, and it confused me. I think I shall stay drunk until I am not confused anymore.
And those words added much of the emotional tug to a very timely movie.
You're very kind to say that, Hedda.
Dean, the reason I wanted to recall that performance with you, why I wanted to talk to you here is because, lo and behold, we're nearing Oscar time again.
That we are, Hedda. So how about some predictions? Now, who's going to be voted the best actress?
I'm just thinking about supporting players today.
Yes, but you'll have plenty to say in the weeks to come about the rest of the categories, won't you?
I certainly will.
All right, then let's get started. Now, supporting players, who do you think will be nominated?
Well, you won it last year. You and Mercedes for Cambridge.
Yes, Hedda, and it was you that started the ball rolling. And I've always wanted to tell you, and before a lot of people, how grateful I was for the support that you gave me.
Oh, Dean, that was nothing. I was betting on a sure thing. After seeing you in 12 o'clock high, I knew the others just didn't have a chance. Besides, when it comes to voting, I've got only one vote. It was your fellow actors who made you win.
All right, but thanks anyway.
You know, Dean, your new one isn't so bad either. Paramount's Warpath, in color yet. I can't help thinking what an impressive roll call all the past winners would make. Walter Houston for Treasure of Sierra Madre. Barry Fitzgerald in Going My Way.
Claire Trevor for Key Largo. Thomas Mitchell for Stagecoach. Yes, Hedda, I'm proud to be on that list. Now, we were talking about this year, you remember? Now, I performed for you, so you perform for me. Back to the typewriter, Hedda. Let's hear it.
Okay, here goes. This year, among the men, it's going to be a close race. No odds on favorite this time, like you were. But my nominations are George Sanders for All About Eve, Arthur Kennedy, who played the son in Glass Menagerie, Edmund Gwynn, the beloved Mr. 880, and Sam Jaffe for his master criminal in Ashford Jungle. There they are, four of them.
Now, what about the women?
Oh, that. I'll do more than nominate. I'll pick the winners. But the best supporting actress, it's my prediction that Jimmy Stewart's wonderful sister in Harvey will sweep the field, Josephine Hull.
Well, those are certainly good selections. Okay, I've got it, and I'll be watching for the rest of your selections, Hedda.
And on March 22nd, you can find out how wrong or how good I am. Goodbye, Dean. The story of Colonel Paul Tibbet, who dropped the first atomic bomb on Hiroshima, is being written for the screen. The story's been held up for reasons of military security. The colonel was selected for the mission 10 months before he made the run, and nobody in the plane knew whether or not the atomic blast would knock the plane out of the sky. Shelley Winters goes to Puerto Rico for the Ed Gardner Show, then hops to Havana to be the guest of the Cuban government. If her studio permits, she'll stay in New York to co-star with Franco Tone in Sam Berman's play, Let Me Hear the Melody. It's about a movie star who was nothing and then became somebody, and it could just as well be me, said Shelley. In connection with the Academy Awards, I overheard a remark the other night from one of Hollywood's leading stars that set me right back in my heels. She said she wanted no part of Oscars. This same star is one that I've wanted to argue with for some time. So, Patsy, is our visitor here yet?
Yes, she is, Miss Hopper, without her sarong.
Well, what's so wrong with a sarong? Hello, Hedda.
Dorothy L'Amour. On you, Dorothy, there's nothing wrong with a sarong. But what I wanted to see you about...
I know. I've been listening. That crack of mine about me and Oscar. You see, all I said was that the Academy Awards are wonderful, but not for me. Oscar just isn't my type, or, to be more honest, I'm not his type.
Would you clean that up for me, please?
What I mean is, Hedda, he's for actresses who get a chance at real acting. But me, my biggest lines always seem to be something like, me, Island Princess. Keith? What is Keith? And you know, there's always a handsome guy who is willing to explain it to me.
And that's not surprising. But this is what I wanted to see you about. If you'd only play something, well, just the part that gave you more...
I know, Hedda, don't you understand? I know I'm not going to get an Oscar, but I really don't care.
You what? You mean you like being typed in all those fairy tales to make people dream?
Well, once in a while, I tuck a nightmare in between, with Hope and Crosby on the road to somewhere.
Oh, those.
Oh, that's just for relaxation.
Oh, but most people still think of you as the native girl with the flowers in her hair.
And I don't blame them. I've been wearing it for a long time. Remember me? I was lost with Ray Milland on an island years before he was lost on that weekend.
Now, there you see. Ray Milland has changed. He went to Merrick.
And I didn't, and I'm happy where I am. What's the matter, Hedda? Don't you enjoy pictures that just tell a fairy tale?
But they're so far away from what happens in real life.
They are, and I like them, Hedda. Seriously, that's my whole point. I like working in pictures that make no bones about what they are, that make people forget their troubles and are proud of it. Maybe just girls and sarongs and intrigue in the jungle isn't the kind of art that wins Oscars. But there you are. That's why I'll never get one.
And, Dorothy, you've made quite a point. Maybe someday there'll be a special Oscar for the actress who can make the most people forget about the most troubles. But about being so happy in Happy Parts, I don't want to expose you, but once I overheard you singing a song. It's a sad song. And it'll be the highlight of a picture someday soon. Are you going to tell me you would like to play the sad, dramatic part of the girl who sings it?
What girl? Hedda, you've lost me. My next picture is Cecil B. DeMille's The Greatest Show on Earth, The Circus. I wear tights and twirl by my teeth and...
Yes, and I've got news for you. I'm going to be in it, too, and I'm wearing tights, and I'm going to ride an elephant. Talking about the part of Helen Morgan, Dorothy, if they make the story of her life.
Oh, well.
You know, I knew her very well. And you look an awful lot like Helen.
Do you think so?
It's not so hard to imagine you climbing up on the piano, tears in your eyes as you sing.
Can you really imagine that?
Well, can't you?
May I try?
Left, I finished the item. It's a fine thing to be able to bring happiness to people the way Dottie does, whether it's by making them forget or making them remember. Judy Lawrence adopted a 6-year-old French orphan who doesn't speak one word of English. Betty Grable and Harry James are cutting down on their horse flesh. They sold 5 of their ponies, and now, poor things, they've only got 22 left. A few days ago, I was tracking down a story at 20th Century Fox when I saw one of Hollywood's loveliest new stars hurrying along toward the David and Bathsheba set. Alida Valley, aren't you lost? You're the David Selznick star. You're not working in this picture.
Oh, hello, Edda. No, I'm not lost. I'm a messenger.
What?
With an errand that's starting in France and is going to end in just a few minutes right here.
Sounds intriguing. Is it a secret?
Come along, Lucy.
Who are we waiting to see? Who is this mysterious something for?
Here he comes. Hello, Gilbert.
Gregory Peck.
Well, surprise. Hello, Hedda. Alida, what's going on?
I'll be darned if I know.
Gregory Peck. On behalf of the Republic of France,
and its largest women's magazine, Elle, I hereby deliver to you its coveted Prix Féminin.
Oh, so that's it.
For your work in David Selznick's The Paradin Case, you have been chosen in a nationwide poll of France as the best foreign actor of the year.
Well, how about that, you foreigner? I knew that you won the New York Critics Award as the best actor of the year, but this one's a surprise.
It was a surprise to me, too. You see, Alida was my co-winner. She was chosen as the best foreign actress of the year for Mr. Selznick's The Third Man.
Golly, congratulations to you, too.
Voila.
Now, wait a minute, not so fast. The ceremony's not over just like that.
What's that?
Enlighten her, Hedda. A French medal? Somebody has to kiss you on both cheeks.
What an opportunity. Monsieur Peck? Here. There? Congratulations.
Ah, that's better. Well, seriously, Hedda, I'd love the opportunity to say how much I appreciate being honored like this. You know, I had a chance to do a picture in England last year. Alida Valli has just come back from making one in France. I think it's a good thing for us to get away from Hollywood once in a while. It helps us make better pictures. It also helps us to know the people abroad. It gives them a chance to know us. In times like these, that's pretty darn important. End of statement.
Thanks, Greg. And you too, Valli, for letting me in on this. I've seen important awards presented in all sorts of ways, but I think this was one of the most charming. And the speeches were the shortest. You know, it's hard to see Greg Peck these days because he's working day and night. Fred Allen, during a rehearsal on The Big Show, said trying to have a conversation with Tallulah Bankhead is as frustrating as being a kleptomaniac in a piano store. Lloyd Binford, Memphis, Tennessee censor, is in the news again. He banned Charlie Chaplin's picture, City Lights. There's nothing wrong with the picture, says Binford. The censorship is against Chaplin, an enemy of godliness in all forms. Gabriel Pascal had two picture commitments with Rex Harrison, but since Rex returned to the stage and wrote so scathingly about Hollywood, as well as his unhappiness while living here, Gabby has decided against making any picture with the gentleman. The next issue of Look magazine features a piece on how nine stars stayed glamorous after 40, with their faces on the cover. It was written by Ted Harper. At this very moment, on a movie lot in the heart of Hollywood, David Diamond is producing a picture for Allied Artists. It has all the ingredients of excitement, heavy drama, and heroism. It's a story of the last war. The theme is the Philippines, near Manila. Corregidor has fallen. It's 1942. There's the ever-present rain at Luzon and a bamboo hut. And the story that unfolds has even more than the usual share of the kind of emotions wars are made of. But mostly there's fear, suspicion, distrust.
Who is that? Who is that? Who is that?
You all put down your gun. There's nobody with me.
You're breaking. I'm sleeping. American?
Yes, I am. My name is Claire Phillips.
My name is nothing. Goodbye.
I was told you could take me to Major Boone.
Boone? Boone? What is Boone? I never heard of such a man. But I could take you to a Japanese black market for you to sell that ring on your pretty little finger.
Oh, wait, please. I'm a dancer from Manila. I've been hiding in the hills just like you gorillas have. I'm an American. I want to see Major Boone.
Senora, so many people hide. So many collaborate with the Japanese. So hard to tell the difference. But so unhealthy for people who come up to get the
back.
Are you
listening to me? I've got to see him, don't you understand? I can bring him information from the cops. I'm all right, I tell you.
All right is your word for dropping people. You don't stop me, lady!
Keep your hands off me! That ring was given to me by a soldier, a sergeant. I want to fight you, I tell you. I want to help. Sergeant, who was my husband? He died on the death march in the past.
Senora, it's you. Please, make your phone. Please, sir, come.
Thank you.
Yes, it's the story of a woman named Claire Phillips. A woman whose whole life had been invaded and crushed, but who dedicated herself to fighting back against the Japanese. How did she do it? Well, a few months later, there was a new nightclub in Manila, the White Camellia, the Shudaki Club, a favorite with the Japanese.
I want a chance to get my breath.
Hello, boss. Oh. If I play louder, they cut off my throat. So, all right.
If this war goes on much longer, I'm going to teach you how to play a third tune.
Oh, good fun. Then in China, I will open a studio. Professor Posting, how to make jazz hot in 3 easy lessons.
Hurry!
Oh, they look like my channel. They want you. Listen, still crap. Want more dancing from you.
That's what I'm here for.
But it is after closing time, boss. So many are so drunk.
But if you dance for them, you cannot talk to them, boss.
But look who is here. The admiral himself. Those other Navy officers.
I know.
There is Yashamada, captain of the submarine. And another one.
You will miss a great chance, boss. Major Boone could use the information they might have.
Be quiet.
But all together at one time.
It is almost as though. Oh, boss?
Yes. Coincidence, isn't it? And the Japanese officers like my part.
What is going on? What is special about tonight that you have?
Tell your other team, Professor. I'm off for the fans again. And I'm going to dance until dawn if I have to.
Oh. Oh, Madame Sufaki.
Oh, no, story of Claire Phillips, an American spy. High Pocket, they called her. A courageous woman who became a leader in the Manila underground. It's packed with plenty of excitement. The point is that it's all based on fact, not fiction. But in real life, as well as on the screen, spies almost always get caught. I'm afraid that happened, too. And when it happens, there's only one ending.
Here. As Imperial Intelligence Officer, I have been mortally shamed by the enormity of my ignorance in not capturing you sooner, in letting you so long rob Japan to aid America. And now, you refuse to answer our question. Our torture only makes your memory worse.
Stand
up! Stand up! Stand up! Mrs. Phillips, it is my assignment. It is my pleasure to crush the Camellia, to condemn you to death.
But here's the most amazing part of the whole story. Right here beside me, she's quiet, unassuming, and the real High Pocket, Claire Phillips herself.
Hello, Hedda.
Only I think we'd better explain real quick how you got out of that death sentence, don't you? As I understand it, you were number 920 on the execution list at Bilibid Prison. Yes, Hedda, and they only got as far as number 900 before the American troops came in and rescued me.
This picture they're making, I was an American spy, is based on the book you wrote, Manila Espionage, isn't it?
That's right. And it's very funny feeling to watch actors playing out my own life.
You didn't act those things. You lived them. In fact, you were awarded the Medal of Freedom by our government, the only woman in American history ever to receive it. You not only spied on the enemy, but you smuggled messages and money and so on back and forth to the guerrilla leaders. Only tell me something, Claire. Why did they call you High Pockets?
Well, the messages, the easiest way to hide them was to carry them in my bra. So, High Pockets.
Oh, Claire, we're so proud to have you with us. So people could hear this story firsthand. I'm especially proud of what you did because you're one of us, an entertainer. But there's one thing I'd like to know, and I'm sure every woman would, too. How could you do it? The danger, torture, hardship, constantly risking your life. Yes, I know it's patriotism, and I know the tragedy of your husband's death. But I mean the courage, the strength to keep going all those long years.
Hedda, it isn't only soldiers who must fight wars. You'd be surprised how strong all of us can be when we need to be.
Thank you so much, Claire Phillips. Yes, the diplomats make the commitments, the generals plan and direct the battles, but it's the little fellows, you men and women, who fight the wars. It's the little fellows on whom depend the success or failure of a cause which ends in war. You've just heard the story of the courage and patriotism of a dancer in the Battle of the Philippines. She carried no diplomat's dispatch case. She wore no stars on her shoulders. But in the end, the stars showed brilliantly in her crown of patriotism and love of country. Within her soul burned that fire which all patriots possess. She wasn't afraid of guns, imprisonment, no, not even death. She was ready to give everything for the cause of freedom. Would you and I disregard danger, personal fortunes, even death, as she did? If the time ever comes, God forbid, we'd better. Or the conflict will be lost before we know it. Yes, the diplomats may decree, the generals plan and direct. But it's the little people who win or lose wars. The little people, the everyday citizens like you and me.
Stars that make music. We'll visit with MGM's newest singing sensation, Fernando Lama, argue about children's entertainment with Sterling Holloway, and to top it off, a dramatic highlight with Loretta Young.
Good night, everybody.
And make a date for next Sunday for Hedda Hopper's Hollywood. From the ringside seat, the desk by the window looking right down on Hollywood and Vine. The Hedda Hopper Show is an FMB production directed by Bill Fowler and with music by Frank Worth. This is Art Baker bidding you good night.